Welcome to Inside the Spec. We are the podcast that bridges the gap between building product manufacturers and the architects who specify them. Each episode brings you unfiltered insights into how architects find, evaluate, and specify building materials. I'm your co-host, Megan Kavinsky, and CEO of Point to Point. We're an advertising agency focused in securing the architect's spec through results-focused marketing. And I'm joined by my co-host, Vardhan Mehta, a second-gen architect and founder of AceLab. AceLab is an AI-driven product selection platform that brings architects and manufacturers together early in the design process.
Whether you're a manufacturer looking to better serve the architectural community or a supplier seeking to understand the evolving needs of design professionals, Inside the Spec delivers actionable intelligence straight from the source. Inside the Spec, because understanding how architects think is the first step to becoming the architect standard.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Inside the Spec. I am your co-host, Megan Kavinsky. I'm CEO of Point to Point. We are a building materials marketing firm that helps drive growth for your business. And I am joined today by Vardhan Mehta, CEO of AceLab. AceLab is an AI-driven product selection platform that brings architects and manufacturers together earlier in the design process. And we are both thrilled to be joined by our good friend, Aaron Ayer of Hunley Group. Hunley is a Salesforce implementation partner or Salesforce consultancy with a focus in building materials and construction. He's served as a CMO for numerous different building materials companies, has been in the industry for 30 years, and is a very knowledgeable, very interesting person. So welcome, Aaron. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me, Megan and Vardhan.
So Aaron, before we get into it, I do think the story of why you formed Hunley, what you saw as an opportunity in the market that I think you spotted early, and everyone's still feeling this as a challenge within our industry today. Why did you start Hunley?
Yeah, that's a great question, Megan. So I think really it's a convergence of two things. One was my personal experience in CRM platforms. I've worked in several and spent a lot of time in Salesforce. Clearly, I saw Salesforce as a rocket ship, the rising star in the industry. They have the absolute lion's share, the market share out there. So the dominant platform, very capable, and I was really enjoying working in it. The second thing was the lack of relevant industry experts to serve my needs as a user of Salesforce within the building materials industry. I wanted someone who could tell me how to use the platform for best purposes. And when I asked the existing consultants, I found I was getting really talented programmers who would just ask me what to do on the platform. Well, I knew process, I knew my business objectives, and I knew the building materials industry. But at that point, I didn't know CRMs. So I didn't know what to ask for. And what I really was craving was somebody to bring me best practices. Here's the result that I want to achieve. And that person to step up and say, well, here's how you do it. Maybe I didn't even know that I could do it in the system and bring it to me. So that's what we set out to do 15 years ago. Been very successful today, growing the business to where it is with several hundred building materials and construction clients along the way, and a very nice team of very, very capable and experienced consultants on board.
Explain what makes Hunley different or what you do that helps manufacturers, because it seems like you saw this disconnect. I'm going to assume, and I kind of know because you know we do some work together, that that's what your team is able to deliver. It's not just about the implementation. I mean, because that is where CRMs fall down, right? They get implemented and not adopted or implemented poorly without the right logic or leadership behind it. And then it's not as useful as it needs to be. So what makes Hunley different? How do you help fill that void?
Yeah, so it is exactly that knowledge of the industry. When someone says, I am a business that is primarily commercially specified building materials, my first questions would be, are you capturing the projects? What are you trying to do to drive specifications into the market? Do you have an architectural sales team, or is your sales team wearing multiple hats? Where is your specifications market share? The ability to simply ask questions that are relevant to the industry and suss out what their objectives and needs are and maybe suggest ways for them to increase their market share and business success in industry, and then craft a system that follows that. The crafting the system is not the hard part. It's buying a toolbox is not challenging. Knowing how to use a tool, that's the challenging part.
Mm-hmm. Yes, for sure. Anyone who's ever worked in a CRM can attest to that pain. Yeah.
No, Aaron, just to build on that, I'm aware that apart from building product manufacturers, you also partner with, the construction firms, maybe architecture firms as well. What is the value from that experience on the other side of the industry that you're able to bring back to the manufacturers you're working with?
Yeah, it's interesting. The use of CRM generally is going to be the sales and marketing and perhaps service tip of the spear into the market. So interestingly, while we serve three of the top 10 general contractors in Engineering News Record and something similar in the architectural side and the engineering side and many, many of the smaller side as well. What we see from them is generally not relevant at all to what we see on the manufacturer side, because it's the other end of the ship. So these are the folks that are trying to sell work into the market, but it's the other end of their business is doing the specifying work that the manufacturers and to some extent the distributors and manufacturers reps need to be aware of and engage with. So there is a necessity to understand the full scope of the business operation. So for us to serve a manufacturer well who's engaging specifiers, we're going to understand the mind of the specifier ourselves. How do they work? What do they want to see? What does the process look like? When should you engage them? And how should you engage them? With what data?
Well, on the subject of data, are you guys data or data people? I think I'm more of a data person.
I'm from Missouri, so I'm going to say data, not Missouri. But the world of data is definitely always been critical in this realm, and it's becoming increasingly mission critical for folks to succeed and achieve. Verdon, you're running a business that is heavily founded on the leveraging the power of artificial intelligence. And one of the things we see is absolutely foundational as our clients take baby steps towards becoming consumers of AI capability is preparing the organization for artificial intelligence. AI relies hugely on one thing, like large language models, large language data. It's got to have a lot of data. And if the data is not clean and accurate, you got nothing to work with. And if it's not adequate, you don't have anything to work with. So data is the foundational of this forefront of AI. And that's something we preach to clients is if you want to get ready for AI, start with your data.
Is that a similar story to what you're talking to people about, Verdon, or something that you see more relevant to Ace Lab and what you're building?
I think the common thread here is that in our industry, there's no shortage of data. So I think even for manufacturers, when they, they partner with Ace Lab or other platforms in this industry, there's absolutely no shortage of data. I think the challenge that, I'd love to get thoughts from Aaron if he feels the same thing. I think with manufacturers, they really appreciate help with somebody who can help them curate the right data, so that for their sales teams, marketing teams, they know exactly what they're looking at and how valuable that is. Any thoughts on that, Aaron?
So I think it's having the right data to use to target, but maybe even more importantly in this is how to make the data actually usable, because there are vast seas of data out there that are available to folks for use. But it is so overwhelming that often we see folks who are subscribing to and licensing some of these databases, yours included, that the reason that they may have trade off of using the data isn't that the data isn't useful. It's that it's such an overwhelming sea and it takes so much time and effort to wade through that data that they just can't do it. Their people don't have the time. They can't get to it.
Do you guys think that some of the risk in our industry is that a lot of the data actually is bad data, right? So, and by this, I mean, trade show lists that people got 10 years ago that have been dumped into a spreadsheet that's now being dumped into a CRM, you know, or like trend information that's not as relevant anymore. Because if you are building something based off of AI and a large language model, it's using that knowledge base, that source of truth. And if you have bad data, you're going to get bad, you know, answers, bad results, bad assumptions back, right? Is that, does that feed into what you're maybe with ASLAB, you know, how you've approached your path for how you even build your knowledge base and keep it current, you know?
It totally does. I'll share a slide here that I like to use in articulating this to clients is that the concept of the data as a disease, a pathogen, and the data health of your organization. And these are the various categories of pathogens that we would ascribe to a database, a little bit of a trite trope. But nonetheless, I think it helps folks get their heads around it. The first and most prevalent pathogen in a database is typically duplication. So it's the same record, maybe in slightly different variations through that database, that are the same record replicated multiple times. It could be a contact, it could be an account, it could be a product, it could be a project, any one of those things. Megan is a marketeer. Frankly, I found as a marketeer that that is an illness that strikes marketeers even worse than it does salespeople, because marketeers, to be efficient, must work with large bodies of data at any one time. If you don't have a clean, fully attributed data set, you can't do your job. You can't pull a list for marketing. You can't pull a targeted list. The other categories here might be holes in your data where you're missing some data. Some of the data is simply incorrect. That's tough. It's tough to find wrong data in the database. Inadequate data. You don't have a big enough data set. You might have a set of architects to go to after, but you don't have all of them. You don't have enough to pursue. Might be the wrong target. Perhaps your product is targeted towards the healthcare industry and the architecture in your database. Oh, turns out they primarily do multifamily and class A office space. Well, they're not going to be very helpful for you if you're a manufacturer going after that. And then finally, it's thinking about the various disparate databases, another real pain and problem here where we have data in a CRM and we have data in an ERP system, an accounting system, and they either don't match up or data is in one system, but it's not in the other customer data. So those are all good ways to look at that data and think about building that foundation for success.
And Aaron, on this note, maybe zooming out a little bit, what is the opportunity cost for a manufacturer to not invest in properly organizing their data or CRM?
Yeah, great question again, Vardhan. So let's think about it in several ways. If we want to empower the sales and marketing teams to do their jobs, and we're thinking about a CRM platform, so if a sales team doesn't have adequate data to go after, then they're going to be spinning their wheels. They're going to be wasting a lot of time doing basic fundamental research. Back to the old school days of sales, where you were handled your territory boundaries, your laptop, your cell phone, and said, "Have a nice day, go sell. Good luck, fella." So they're doing all of this work to try to find the accounts, and that's super wasteful and probably not very effective. The next might be just simply having too much data and not going who to go after. There are, using rough numbers, 20,000 architectural firms in the United States. That number varies a bit. And the large firms, an HKS, an SOM, et cetera, might have 100 separate branches or offices. Which ones are worth going after? Which ones do the type of work that you do? Which ones are big enough to be worth your time? You can boil the ocean as a sales rep, even if you do have the data. So it's making the data useful and targeted for folks to know where they should be spending their time. Vardhan, if I think about the really interesting and unique value of your database with ASLAB, I'm thinking about knowing which architects are already specifying my product, but maybe not all of them. That might be a great place for me to spend my time because I know I've already got a foot in the door there. And that's going to be an easier upsell to get an audience to consider the rest of my product suite, which, for goodness sakes, of course they should be specifying because they're all great products. Conversely, it'd be targeting the architects who are doing a lot of project work but aren't specifying any of my products. Those are also right targets. How do we direct the sales team knowledgeably to focus on the right place at the right time and be productive with their tool? We think about the simplest mantra for using a CRM effectively. It is a CRM should tell it, remind you what to do and when to do it. So this is that key input in the world of specifications.
It's interesting to me, like we're talking about data, but the way you talk about data, Aaron, it almost sounds like to me, it sounds like you're saying data organized properly makes your, not only your CRM more effective, but it's really intelligence for your sales and marketing teams, where like they can be a lot more effective as a process of having the right data and having that intelligence to do their, you know, their work more efficiently. Would that be fair?
No question that's right, Gordon. The CRM might be a Ferrari or a really nice F-250 in this market, but the gas tank's empty. Data is the fuel. You don't fill it with premium fuel, you're not going to have a very effective day.
Yeah, I also like what you were saying, Aaron, about helping with the focus, because that is one of the things that we see all the time is that our manufacturers think that any architect with an active project that they could be a solution for is their target. And while that may be true, not all architecture firms are created equal. They might not, you know, be a good, consistent repeat customer, and you could spend a long time trying to get one spec, never get something again. So we say all the time that you have to figure out who your target customer is and then go at market directly to them. And that means that it's the act of ruthless exclusion. Good marketing is the act of ruthless exclusion and focus, focus, focus. Your time is valuable. You need a strategy here for how you approach the market, not just respond to what the market may pop your way.
Right. What an astute statement. As a marketeer myself, I always said the absolute most effective campaign is the really, really well-targeted campaign. You have the right list to go after with the right message, you're going to crush it. If you're going after a generic message after a vast audience, you're going to have very low response rates.
Yeah. You're going to get bogged down. You're going to end up those.
It's going to be expensive.
Yeah, it's going to be expensive. There's so many data sources that are out there. You know, certainly AceLab is a great one, as you mentioned. But what are some of the other places that manufacturers can look for high quality data to augment what they might already have as an organization?
It depends a little bit on the sector of the market. So in the world of commercial building products, primarily the two databases that have ruled historically with project data and then plan rooms, the plans and specs when they come available are Dodge and ConstructConnect. There's lots of other smaller databases out there in. If you're on the industrial side, Industrial Info Resources is a very common one that we would see as well. The other side of the coin is the invitation to bid sources. So the bid databases, and those are a different animal. So AutoCAD's Building Connected would be a primary one that we see. Procore will send out invitations to bid. All the databases, ConstructConnect has an invitation to bid platform, et cetera. But there's a myriad of those out there. And again, this is an application for artificial intelligence. We have a national scale specialty subcontractor, electrical contractor. They have 51 sources of invitations to bid. Everything from departments of the transportation to all the sources I've listed to myriad others, including just dumb email coming in the door or phone requests.
So done correctly, this can all feed into Salesforce, correct? Yeah. So do you have a visual or an example of like what a good integration of data sources within Salesforce looks like? Just by chance. Just
happens. It's happened that I do. So let's take a look, first of all, just from the perspective of piping in these data sources here. So here I might have a list of construction projects that are in some phase of construction. Now, let's think about the context of how a given building products manufacturer works. Are they folks who are heavily specified with a relatively tight spec such that getting into the spec to begin with is mission critical to success? They're going to want to see early stage projects. Now, Bourdon, that might be a place where your database would be an absolutely outstanding choice because your platform is designed to be a design tool for the specifiers. So the very first time a project ever appears very often could be in your database, but it could emerge somewhere along the line in your database and ConstructConnect and Dodge and any one of these other sources that we've listed, and you've got a mix. Now, we also have to think about the data perspective of avoiding duplication. So if we have multiple sources converging together, we've got to find a way to marry those up so we have a unique record and not duplication. Generally, that's doable through a number of methods. Now, once we get into that actual project, then what was the thing that brought that to us? So if I'm thinking about AceLab and Bourdon sourcing here, that might be a design stage consideration of a product where it was flagged in the AceLab database that for this particular project, Acme cladding was considered by Hunley Architectural Designs. Gosh, that's very interesting to know. Comes on the radar before it ever hits any other database, maybe even the news. Suddenly you know, it's time to place a call on Hunley Architectural Designs because so happens that I know that they are already specifying my product in there in the as equal list because I've captured that data. Could be from AceLab. It could just be from good old shoe leather on the ground capturing their master spec. Maybe from one of the other specifications hosting databases, Master Spec or SpecLink, which tend to be more aggregators, but are also very, very widely used in this world. So all of those ways to leverage that data bring me in there to that system. Now, maybe it's getting to the point where the actual plan room has emerged. Plans and specs are available. We're way down the line in this. We've gone through concept. We've gone through design. We've gotten to the point where general contractors are out for bid or award and the plan room is available and you can see what actually hit the spec. So capturing those searches there for those keywords and then fully identifying what products are then in the specification, how are they specified, and use that data to leverage. What would I want to use that data for? Well, if I am not in the spec, I got no shot here. I got to get into the spec. And a great way for me to capture revenue right now would be for me to leverage the very well-worn path of a substitution request. Can be challenging. We know maybe you've got a 1 in 5 shot of getting accepted, but it's a fairly routine and understood process. And if you fire those out and you chase those, you are going to get more project opportunities to bid on. When you're in the spec or you've gotten an addendum listed that includes you, now it's time to get that spec out to your audience. Who you want to make sure it is not the tree that fell in the forest with no one there to hear it. You want to make sure that your channel knows, your distributors, if your distributors pick up specs and pursue quotes, your subcontractors, the trades that you work with or you'd like to work with, let's give them some value and shoot leads their way. All of those are ways that you would use that data along the way. Additionally, let's remember, of course, that it would be rare to see a true flat spec anymore these days. Maybe you get a basis of design and no others, but that's pretty rare. That's tough to get. Maybe 1 in 10 is our best guess at that. So you know, just because you're in the spec and you get high specified market share does not mean you're going to have high revenue share. So you got to chase this every step of the way or you risk leakage from that sales funnel all along the way of some way you got VE'd out, it slipped away, some competitor got in and quoted it and your trades didn't quote you. Any one of those ways to lose business along the way. A lot of elbow grease, so a lot of automation and system assistance is what's going to be necessary to have adequate productivity to be efficient at this game.
And Aaron, we're seeing this logo at the top left of the screen. Can you also talk a little bit about what spec success?
Yes, totally. Thank you. A great intro there. So Spec Success is a Salesforce add-on product. View the Salesforce App Exchange like your iPhone App Store or Google Play, where you can go get targeted applications that meet your need. Whether you're bored and you want to play Candy Crush, or you need your banking app, or whatever it is, you add what's valuable to you in the data. Spec Success is a tool that Hunley has built over the last decade or so. We built a system that can come in shaking off a little bit of cold from that I managed to catch from Salesforce's Dreamforce last week. Thank you very much. Massive crowds there. So we built a tool here that takes this initial data and does exactly that value-added piece that we would expect AI to do, to be an agentic assist to humans and enrich the data. So we may have a project that gets inserted from one of the data sources, many of which, and we get to the point where that plan room has emerged. We know that there's a huge amount of labor once that is present for someone to actually qualify it. Is this worth pursuing? Do I have a real spec? How is this in position in the spec? Is it my spec? Is it a competitor spec only? And then what do I do with it? So here we use artificial intelligence to go actually dive the plan room, read the plans and the specs, find which products are specified, and create records in the CRM for that, where our tool has gone and has been taught for that company's products to read the appropriate section of the specification, find who is specified, pull the plans in, verify that the product's actually used in the plans, and then populate all that data in the system for a sales user to use, knowing that I'm in the spec, not in the spec, and position my substitution. So I'm eliminating all of that paperwork. That's another angle, Vardhan, of looking at leveraging artificial intelligence and data sources intelligently to make it useful enough for people to act on it productively without it being such an overwhelming sea. They're only going to see the well-qualified things, and it's all pre-positioned for somebody to tackle with these fairly perishable time records that are are involved here. Our estimate is this can double the productivity of someone who is pursuing these leads. Early indications, and this product is fresh to market, launched in the middle of this year, are that that's what we should see from it. So it's pretty exciting.
I'm glad you mentioned that. Actually, just to follow up on that last point, do you also see this tool as one that can level the playing field for where all the reps start in a company, meaning an experienced rep with two decades under their belt? They probably can like skim exactly where they need to go in a planned room, a spec. But I would imagine the more like younger, more newer reps, for them to be effective, they don't have that trained eye. So it seems like in this case with Spec Success, they're both starting from the same place. And at the same time, they're not spending a lot of their effort to do this administrative information or data finding based on these documents.
Yeah, so that is a very astute observation, Vardhan, that this is a level setter as well. So it is the best practice, and it brings the average up to that best practice. So sometimes it might be the experience of a rep, but we also have a lot of clients in this world who have reps who carry multiple responsibilities. It's not by far from all of our manufacturing clients have dedicated architectural reps. They have reps who are supposed to do it all. They're supposed to manage the distributors, engage the subcontractors, work the projects, teach the leads, get quotes out. And oh, by the way, they're supposed to do lunch and learns and engage the specifiers as well. So we see lots of very experienced reps who just don't actually know very much about the specified selling process because they're tasked with too much and they don't have the time in their day. So this is taking a lot of the need to know the nitty gritty out of that for them. So silly things like hey, I might want to do that substitution request where I'm looking at the competing products. But if I'm a rep who just doesn't do this very often, and I don't know how to target the right person, what messaging to use, how to craft this, what documents to include in that substitution request, or just something as simple of what the CSI format cover sheet is supposed to be filled out like to be effective at this, much less the effort required, I can really put all that in their hands and just make that very, very effective and productive for them and make them fast at it.
What's really funny is last week we literally signed up a manufacturer, and as we were doing the onboarding, they told us they've had a team member in the company for about 2 decades, and the entire job of this team member was to do exactly this, to go into all the spec sheets and the drawing sets to find these details manually and supply those to the sales rep. So it sounds like for manufacturers that feel that gap, but may not have either the means to invest in a human doing this all the time, there's already a solution on this app store that you mentioned.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So this is a great value-added application of artificial intelligence. I think all of us are using GPT and the like to help us be faster on a day-to-day basis, but embedding AI directly into the tools we use on a daily basis, that's where the use cases folks are really kind of struggling to see a lot of these. And this for us is very gratifying because this is very measurable. If we can double the productivity of a rep like this and get them to best practices, wow, that's a win for our customers.
What's wild to me is that, Aaron, you said you've had spec success for 10 years, but probably AI has been a part of it for nascent AI, and now with what you're able to do with this and actually calling it spec success AI and having people know what that means, newer. Vardhan, I think about what you guys are doing with AceLab and how you're using AI to build your platform in ways that wouldn't have been possible just a few years ago, right? Like, how do you guys see AI influencing the world of specification moving forward? It's already had so much impact in a short amount of time. Where do you see the uptick coming from next?
I think the current state really, and I'd love to get Aaron's thoughts on this too, but I think the state of our industry specifically is, let's say AI is the answer, but what's the question? And I think defining that problem statement is where you can add the most value. And so that's what we do at AceLab. What do you think, Aaron? Would that be a fair assessment of when we talk to manufacturers, to to construction firms, is that a fair assessment of where they stand?
Right. I would totally agree. I think a great dad joke that I used in the realm of AI recently was that why is AI like a gym membership? Well, everybody wants to talk about going to the gym, but nobody wants to put the reps in. They don't know how to use it yet. Everybody's fascinated by the topic, wants to hear about it, but they're afraid of dipping their toe, getting in and starting to try it out. And finding those applicable use cases that really solve material problems reliably enough without hallucinations, that's far from a slam dunk yet.
I'll actually add to Spielman the other side. It's not really the job of anybody in a manufacturing firm to become experts in AI. They have a job already. It could be in sales or marketing. And I feel like the place where Aaron's organization, Spec Success AI, AceLab can add a lot of value is we've taken the guesswork out of AI. And you don't need to worry about getting to the problem statement yourself. I think there is an underlying problem statement that applies to almost every manufacturer. And if you can solve for a specific solution that's really designed for your use case, then you're not spending your time hacking away, with ChatGPT, how to solve your own problem yourself with AI.
Right. Agreed. Does a user really need to even know that it was artificial intelligence behind the scenes that went and populated like this? All they care about is that it was teed up for them and put in their hands to do something with.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, that was fascinating. That was really, very interesting to see the platform and talk about what you've seen in terms of trends in the industry over your career, how you got here, Aaron, where the industry is going. And, you know, certainly it can feel like building materials when you're in it day to day, like it's not really moving fast, it's slower. But then you go back and you look at the changes that have occurred. And I do think the rate of change and adoption of more modern technology and thinking is happening at a rapid pace within this industry right now. So very, very interesting to be here at this moment in time with both of you.
Indeed.
Yeah. So totally thank you very much. Yeah, that was a great episode. And thanks everyone who joined us today for Inside the Spec. We hope you'll join us for our next episode as well. Have a great night. Bye.
Folks, thanks for having me.